The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 121. If not, I think it's printed for you on the inside of the bulletin. Psalm 121, I'm reading from the New American Standard because Bob liked the New American Standard, and so do I. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. Jeannie, we love you so much. John and Karen, thank you for being wonderful children. And thank you for the slideshow and the wonderful words, John. Lisa, the song was absolutely beautiful. Right after Bob went home to be with the Lord, I wrote some reflections for our church family, and here's just a few of them. I won't read the whole thing, just the ones that stood out to me. I wrote, "Our brother Bob is in the presence of the Lord this very night. I'm happy for him that he is fully happy, free from misery, sin, pain, and a faltering mind. But I thought I would share a few thoughts about Bob tonight. The first thing that stands out in my mind when I think of Bob is his incredible love for his princess, Jeannie. They were childhood sweeties, and the sweetness and love between them was remarkable. I agree with Michaela. What a magnificent gift Bob and Jeannie's marriage has been to this congregation. I remember Bob took John Skeffer and me to Chinese one day." Now, I just want to just pause and say this seems to be a recurring theme throughout this day, is Bob's love to go out to eat. Bob told us about his bouts with depression and how he clung to Christ, although at times it was a challenge. There was a beauty to Bob's faith because he understood the darkness of depression and the hope that is always in Jesus. In the last few years, an aging body and mind were not kind to Bob, but he walked by faith and not by sight and had his princess next to him the whole way. Bob loved his Bible. Bob loved the church. Bob and Jeannie as a couple were a precious gift of Christ to Grace Community Church. Bob is now with his Savior. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So sometimes in preparing for a memorial service or a funeral, you want to find that perfect passage. And for Bob, there would be many perfect passages. In fact, when we did the graveside a few weeks ago, Charlie and I, independent of each other, actually picked the same text. But as soon as we scheduled the date for this service, the passage was simple and clear, and it was Psalm 121. Bob loved Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is one of the 15 Psalms of Ascent. These Psalms, 120 through 134, were sung by pilgrims who were headed to Jerusalem. The reason that you see the little superscription in each of these psalms, a psalm of ascent, is because they were sung by the pilgrims as they ascended up to Mount Zion. Now, these were real pilgrims on a real journey, but they're also spiritual songs, songs that conveyed spiritual truth, and the ascent up to Jerusalem had spiritual lessons and theological truths. And these 15 psalms actually paint a picture of the pilgrims or the exiles' journey back to Jerusalem. There is this wonderful sense that as they get closer and closer to ascend Mount Zion, to finally get to Jerusalem, that once they arrive, not only would it be a respite from this weary world, but they would be finally home. This psalm in particular, Psalm 121, would have been a psalm of thanksgiving, and it would have been a fitting psalm to sing perhaps many times on the journey in as they expressed their need of God's protection. In fact, the Hebrew word for to guard or protect is used 6 times in this psalm, and thus the theme of this psalm is that God protects and God keeps his people, which makes it relevant whether you're on your way to Jerusalem or whether you're on your way to Reno. The psalm is actually a dialogue. Verses 1 and 2, the pilgrims actually express both concern and confidence. And then verses 3 through 8 is the response, these great truths of assurance, probably spoken by an experienced traveler who could well have been one of the priests on the journey. As I thought about this psalm this week in particular, there are so many things about it that just struck me as relevant to Bob. First, you have the confession of trust. There is this declaration. It's probably not future tense. It just is, I lift my eyes to the mountains. And so there's the pilgrim on his way, and he says he lifts his eyes to the mountains. And then he asks this question, from where will my help come from? The pilgrim is engaged in serious contemplation about the journey. Now, make no mistake about it. He's not looking to the mountains for help. He's looking at the mountains as both that site of hope and yet also that site of still an incredibly arduous journey that he needs to make. And so the mountains, as the pilgrim looks to the mountains, there is a wonderful combination of longing and yearning. That's where I want to be, but also the sense of challenge. Getting there will be no easy task. And so the psalmist naturally asks, as he looks to the mountains as the place of yearning and challenge, where is my help going to come from? He realizes that as he looks at the goal and he looks at the challenge, he asks, who's going to help me get there? Who's going to help me complete the journey and make it all the way to the top? Who is going to come through for me and intervene for my good and provide for me in my lack and give me strength in my weakness and empowerment to arrive safely home? He knows the answer. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from Yahweh, God's divine covenant name. My covenant God is my help. That's where my help is going to come from. No other place, from God and God alone. The God who is my refuge, the God who is my strength, the God who is my very present help in time of trouble is going to be the God who intervenes for my good, who provides provision for me in the midst of my lack and strength in the midst of my weakness and gives me me the divine empowerment to finally reach my goal. And who could do such a thing? The maker of heaven and earth. And so the psalmist is filled with a sense of confidence. If God is the maker of heaven and earth, which, by the way, is just Hebrew shorthand for everything. If God made everything, including this world through which I travel, in which I live, then whatever he has made is under his control. He is in charge. It is his. And if I am his, he'll be my help. And so in this wonderful confession of trust in verses 1 and 2, I see Bob as the one who was a weary traveler at times, one who was filled with longing but knew the journey could be brutal. And in his longing, he lifts his eyes and he sees those mountains that he loved to take pictures of. And asks, where is my help going to come from to finish this journey? And Bob knew the answer, and he answered his own question, time without number, my help comes from the Lord. In verses 3 through 8, you see this response. Many Old Testament scholars see the cry of the pilgrims in 1 and 2, and then the response by experienced travelers calling back with assurances about God. And so you could imagine that weary traveler who's looking forward with longing and yet sees the arduous task in front of him, and he says, where is my help going to come from? And then there is this response. Now they're going to tell the pilgrims who this God is and what he is like. We know he's the maker of heaven and earth, but here we have this response. He will not allow your foot to slip. On a journey, hiking, as Bob knew, a slip could be dangerous. Walking or climbing requires us to carefully watch each step. And boy, in this world, what a dangerous place to take a trek. And the assurance is that the Lord himself is watching each step, and the sovereign care and protection of God governs each step. And then the next response is, not only is he going to guard your step, but he who keeps you will not slumber. Your guardian, your protector, he doesn't doze off. He's not indifferent enough to take a nap while you're on the journey. Why? Verse 4, your guardian, your protector never sleeps. He's always awake. He's always watching. The picture that the psalmist gives us, and this is a terrible example, but it's the best one I can come up with. So, like Bob, I'm a grandpa. And you love your grandchildren more than your own kids. True? Now, I'll take Calvin. He loves to go to Porta Subs. No joke. 300 times in a row. Where do you want to go to lunch? Porta Subs. So I take him to Porta Subs. Then he wants to go to the park. And he starts to climb around. And you know what I do? I let him climb around. But I am right there. And in fact, I get a little nervous the higher he gets. So I get a little closer. Because with one misstep, I know that he could fall and he could hurt himself. And so I try to stay right there within arm's reach in case something happens. And this is the picture of our Father. This is this doting Father who is watching over every single solitary step of his little ones. Yahweh is your guardian, verse 5. Yahweh is your protector. And there's this wonderful progression. He's Yahweh's, is Israel's protector, but he's also your protector. He's not just looking out for a nation of people. He's looking out for you. And then Yahweh is your shade at your right hand. And so somebody mentioned shade earlier. By the way, I know why Bob wanted to walk the rest of the way to the top, because I've ridden with Vic plenty of times. I was in Tonopah and I wanted to walk home. Shade, though, the shade at your right hand. So here you are walking through the desert. And what is shade? Shade is coverage. Shade is protection. Shade may even be life. And there's a sense of delight in the shade. And then verses 6-8, your guardian guards from all harm. He's your protector both day and night, which means, by the way, just simply all the time. No danger, no harm comes to you. Verse 7, he's the protector of your soul. God protects his people. Now that doesn't mean that nothing bad happens to God's people, but it does mean that his protective hand is over us at all times, governing our lives in wisdom and in love, so that there's nothing that happens to us in this life that does not first pass through the loving, wise hand of our Heavenly Father. And Bob knew that. Spurgeon said, if the soul is kept, all is kept. What can harm a soul that is kept of the Lord? The psalm reaches its crescendo in verse 8, that God is our protector for all time, our going out, our coming in. That is through all of our activities, all through life, from this time forth and forever. That is always and now and for eternity. God is the one who keeps us. God is the one who protects us when we are young. He's the one who protects us when we hit middle age, and then even down to old age. He carries us. Even down to old age, my people shall prove God's unchanging love. God carries us in old age, just as sure as a father carries his toddler. Those strong shepherd arms picks us up in our graying years. And this is the one to whom we look, to the one who works for those who wait on him. Those who say, carry me. There are times when your children get older and they start to get heavier and they're like, up, carry me. And you're like, no. You're old enough. You can walk on your own. Use the legs that God gave you. God never says to us, use the legs I gave you. He picks us up. And so Spurgeon says this keeping is eternal, continuing from this time forth and forevermore. The whole church is thus assured of everlasting security. The final perseverance of the saints is thus ensured, and the glorious immortality of believers is guaranteed. Under the aegis of such a promise, we may make our pilgrimage without trembling and venture into the battle without dread. None are so safe as those whom God keeps. So when I think of verses 3-8, I think of Bob. I think of Bob in two ways. First is the pilgrim who preached these very truths to his own soul. Bob knew these things were true about God. He knew that no matter how dark it got, there was a God who kept him and carried him. Bob lived these truths. Bob believed these truths. But there's another way in which this second part of the psalm reminds me of Bob, and that is, just like those experienced pilgrim priests, he called out these truths to others who desperately needed them. God used Bob like that. Bob helped so many people by drawing from the depth of his own well of experience with God. The God of Psalm 121 is Bob's God. And although the journey got tough, Psalm 121 was true for Bob every single step of the way, even when it didn't feel like it. Bob trusted in Jesus, God's only son. He knew Jesus to be a good and faithful shepherd and the guardian of his soul. And how he loved to tell others about Jesus. And he would actually, I think, chide me very gently if I didn't tell you today, trust in God. Hope in God. Put your trust in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the full penalty of our sin and rescued us from the valley of the shadow of death, and who walks with us every step of the way and protects us. You know what I love to think about? I love to think about that moment when Bob left the land of the dying and entered into the land of the living. And with a perfectly clear mind, saw the one who helped him and kept him face to face. And it was there that Bob knew he was finally home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Bob Feltman. We thank you for a life faithfully lived in the power of your grace. We thank you, Father, for one who knew what it was to say that God's grace is sufficient for me, and in my weakness I am strong. Father, thank you so much for Jeannie. Lord, what a precious gift. Thank you for John. Thank you for Karen and Zeke and Jeremy and Lisa. And Father, we pray for your peace to be upon them. We pray, Father, that in all hope, in believing, they would rejoice in the Holy Spirit, knowing that husband, father, and grandfather is face to face with the one who was his good shepherd every step of his life. And so, Father, we commit them to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up. And we ask, Father, that even today that we would ponder the truths that we've heard that Bob loved and cherished, the truths of Psalm 121. We pray, Father, that we would appropriate those things to our own hearts and lives by faith. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is our blessed hope, the resurrection, and the life. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.